We want to thank the rock star crew who help us produce this show, Gary Niederhoff and Barbara Vance.
And thanks to financial support from Rena Shulsky David and Sammy David and the William K. Bowes Jr. Foundation. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, a nonprofit scientific and education organization and home to the Allen Telescope Array. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to the episode Asteroids. I'm Molly Bentley.
I'm Seth Shostak.
If you'd like to hear more Big Picture Science, well, you'll find lots of episodes in our archive at bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer to listen to over-the-air radio because it also carries rock stations, well, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry our program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know you like the show.
And if you listen to our show via iTunes, well, we invite you to leave a review of our show on our iTunes page.
And to reach us directly with your comments, be sure to throw in some faint praise, and then email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
Peter, this is an actual fragment of an asteroid right here that I'm holding?
Yes, but please don't hold it in your hands, because, you know, your fingers have all these dirts and salts in them, and they actually hurt the rocks. It's not that the rock hurts you, it's you can hurt the rocks.
I am so sorry. Okay, what I touched there briefly, and I put it back in its box, is a chunk of our early solar system.
Yes,
right?
It is. It's older than any rock on Earth.
Okay, I'm going to close this box carefully. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Wonderful sound you're hearing right there. Welcome to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Hi, I'm your host Lynn, and today we're discussing jazz at 37 North with Mark Clark and special musical guest RJ Spangler. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
We're gonna try that one more time. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
All right, we're going to work on that volume. We'll take care of that in a moment. In the background, you're hearing some of RJ's fantastic work. How far back does the CD go? Uh-oh, sorry.
3 years ago? I don't remember. We recorded it in 2013. There you go.
All right. Sounds fantastic. How about we listen to a little bit of the music and we'll come back and find out who you guys really are.
Yeah, sounds good.
I don't go out walking, ain't for no talking. Since my baby left me, just dancing and a rocking. Now if I've been scheming, instead of dreaming, she never would have left me, just sitting and a rocking. Sitting all day without holding my baby, such a lonely papa. If she don't hurry and come back, I'm a cinch to blow my diaper. If I don't find her, will you remind her? I'll stand in where she left me, just dancing and rocking all day. Thank you.
Great way to start, and what's going on here? Okay, we have something going on here. I'm not sure what it is. You can hear me, right, through your headphones?
No. I can.
Okay, no. I can hear RJ. With us today, we're going to keep going, even though I'm not getting the signals I want to get. We have Mark Clark in, as I said earlier, and RJ Spangler, and we're going to be hearing music on Impact, which we don't
try that one
very often. Mark, tell us about 37 Jazz at 37 North, and in fact, I think it's you started your program before it was Jazz at 37 North.
Yeah, 37 North is the name of our church. We changed the name from Trinity Wesleyan Church to just 37 North. Started in February of 2009. My first concert with Brian English and the Psalm 150 Ensemble, I believe is the name of his group at the time.
Sure.
I had seen him at the 2008 Detroit Jazz Fest and loved him. And so when I decided to do the jazz, I took my church 6 months to get it approved.
It's a
church, yes. And the board wasn't real happy about jazz. He was the first one he was the only one I knew. I'd heard of him through his early rock stuff because he was in the band called
He's on the Woolies.
The Woolies, that's it.
The
that's
box
what it was.
Set with
yes.
I know.
Who do you love?
Yeah, I know. So I knew Bob Bell Dory.
Yes. Yeah. So I was familiar with him. So he's the first one I had as a guest, and it was we were off and running.
And that was back in 08.
That was actually in 09, February of 2009.
Okay. It's funny, you know, Ron is a well-known and respected jazz musician, and of course he's toured a lot of Motown acts too.
Yes.
And so the fact that he's on that Willie's track on the Nuggets box set, it's like a really minor footnote that most people don't know about, and that was your intro to Ron. And
yeah, it was, because I grew up with the garage music, you know, the garage music.
Sure.
I was an early Detroit music fan with Stooges and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Name some of the people, if you can, that you had back then.
Over the years, I've had Russ and Janine Miller.
Sure.
I know Russ teaches at Wayne State University, and Janine, they're both well-respected in the Detroit jazz community.
Mm-hmm.
I had a group called the Mac Pods. They were out of Ann Arbor. They're kind of
garagey. I'm not garagey, jammy.
Jammy,
fun.
Yeah, kind of
fun.
They were a blast. Yes.
Yeah,
Brendan is a wonderful bass player, and I've hired him. I love him.
Yeah,
yes.
And so who else? I had a group out of Toledo called Ragtime Rick and the Chefs of Dixieland that play the old school Dixieland style jazz. And
Toledo.
Yes, out of Toledo.
Yeah,
they were a blast. A young man out of my mind just went blank. I have Dion Yates, who's a local sax player,
Smooth
Detroit
jazz,
sax player,
friend of mine.
Jazz, yes,
yeah. Nice man.
The drums.
Oh, I've had Bickley Rivera, who
Who's that?
Bickley Rivera. She's kind of a reggae jazz artist from Florida. She came up to play.
Yeah.
Had jazz pianist Jim Martinez from California, was born and raised in Michigan and moved out to California. Lives in Sacramento, and he's played here played our series twice because he's got ties to Michigan. So when he comes, he tries to play with us. So he's excellent.
Does he play with a group or does he play solo?
He plays by himself. And I know one time Paul Keller filled in. Paul Keller's played, of course. Kathy Cousins has played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gratitude Steel Band, I
Gratitude Steel
too.
Band, that's... yeah. They're a local family steel. We did a Christmas in the Islands with them. They played Christmas music on a steel drum, so that was fun.
Carolyn Stiro.
Yeah, she's not jazz, but I had her because I'd seen her at Detroit Jazz Fest, and I figured, and I got hate mail because of her.
Really?
Yes, I did. Because they said,
nice
someone
lady.
Said that, very nice lady, but yeah. They said, that's not jazz. And I said, well, Detroit Jazz Fest had her, so if they can have her, I think I could too, so.
You know, the Detroit Jazz Festival is not quite as Catholic as it used to be.
Yes.
Now it's very much jazz. But previous regimes running it have opened the doors for other types of music.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've had George Bedard fifth anniversary. You know, he's not jazz, but blues and jazz goes together hand in hand. And
He can play some jazz. He can play some very mean Charlie Christian guitar.
Jazz, I mean, he can play anything. That dude can play. He's probably... probably our biggest crowd with him. He packed the place out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's a great
I was there.
Artist.
I was there for that one.
Yes.
And I was thinking, too, of Joe Kidd and Sheila Burke.
Oh, yes. They're more Americana. The final year I ended in 2014, and I had Joe Kidd and Sheila Burke, and then I also had Jeff Karub. Mm-hmm. Who is a folk musician, but his brother plays jazz, and I can't remember his brother's name, and his
Mike.
Dad, Mike. You know Mike.
Mike's a great cellist and bassist.
Yes.
Yes, he's an incredible musician.
Yes, because
he's another Downriver guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Roselle, I believe, or Wyandotte.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes, because when he played, they combined, it was folk and jazz, so it was him and then his dad, who was a Motown session musician. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I did not know that.
He played, he's got the horn on Marvin Gaye's I Heard It Through the Grapevine. That's him playing on the horn. So that's why Jeff calls his music Motown inspired folk.
Nice.
So it was a night of folk and jazz both, a mixture of. And I've had Ashley Daneman, who was also does that. She was from Kalamazoo. I'd heard her music. She combines, she's unique. She's a terrific songwriter and kind of mixes folks and jazz both.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And she moved, after they played here, they moved to New York, and then I just found they moved back to Kalamazoo. So
she got her start at 37 North, and then she went to New York.
Yeah, she actually got her there last CD was reviewed by, not Jazz Times, what's the other one?
Downbeat?
Downbeat. She got a great reviews from Downbeat, and they did a full page article on her right after she played us. So
that's incredible.
Yes.
One of my favorites, and it, you know, you're talking about pure jazz and not quite pure jazz, was Rick, I lost his last name, from Schoolcraft with the the Lenten Vespers.
Yes.
That was the most amazing concert, and that was...
Ricardo...
Silva.
Yes.
Between the three of us, we'll get the names.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, life by committee.
Exactly.
But that was, I guess I would call that definitely non-traditional jazz. And it was during Lent, and it was a Ellington, right?
Yes.
Not Ellington.
Yes.
And
sacred concert.
Sacred,
it was just amazing. And the players he had with him, just amazing. So.
Yeah, he had a solid group there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he had a drummer there, and this was kind of funny. This was a drummer I hadn't seen in probably 10 years.
Okay.
And he was the one that put together a group for our 25th wedding anniversary, my husband and my 25th wedding anniversary. Hadn't seen him in about 10 years, and so many things had happened since that time. And I said, you probably don't remember me because this guy plays every place, and you hear him on the radio. You hear people talking about him all the time. And he said, oh, yeah, I remember that party. He said, I remember that party like it was yesterday. He said, we played too long. I said, no, you didn't. And and he said, we had such a great time. And it was a phenomenal concert.
What was his name?
Around.
Or what is his name?
What is his name? Bill Cairo.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bill owns the Drum House.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Over by Redford.
Yeah.
And he's in poor health right now.
I heard that.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
But heck of a drummer.
He is one of the best reading drummers you're ever going to meet. Yeah, he plays with Trudell and guys like that who are, you know, you got to be really good to play with.
Now, we've had Paul Keller. I'm sure you know Paul.
Very well.
Paul's played with his own band and also filled in with several different bands. So, you know, Paul's just, you know, Paul's so humble. And when I first booked him, he was going to do a Christmas concert, a jazz Christmas. And he called me about a week before the concert, or 2 weeks maybe, and he said, hey, call me back. So I call him back, and he says, yeah, he said, said something about getting ready to fly to London. I said, London where? He goes, London, England.
Yeah.
I said, why are you flying there? He goes, I got a gig with Diana. I said, Diana who? He goes, Diana Krall. I said, holy crap, Paul.
Can't see that on the radio, Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's on her first CD that she had on the Impulse label.
Okay.
Paul is on that CD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he tours a lot now with a guy named Pizzarelli, John Pizzarelli.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Paul's, they know, the people in the top who are looking for a guy who really knows how to play all the standards, then his name is well known. He's just not some local schmo. He is a guy that in the world-class circles, they know Paul Keller's name, mm-hmm. and they call him up, and they know his phone number.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much music out of Detroit, so much good music out of Detroit, and always encourage people to check out live music. Because there's just nothing like it. You can put out the best CD in the world, but being there, and it's like a play, you know, where you can smell the actors. Well, you want to be able to just, you know, see the musicians and smell the musicians, and it's all good.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, that took us to a close. So let's talk a little bit about, why don't we talk about Sunday? Now 37 North is back again. Okay.
We're doing, right now I have four concerts scheduled. RJ is the first. When I ended the series in 2014, I actually already had RJ booked for the September gig. And I said, you know, if I ever start up again, you'll be the first one I call.
Uh-huh.
So did. I did. He said, man, you're a man of your word. I said, well, I'll try to be, you know. And I like, you know, I'm a fan of his music. I hear it on
RCJ.
EMU. EMU all the time, yeah.
WHFR.
Yeah. And NIWHFR. And I know, I'm already a fan, so I'm excited about Sunday afternoon, actually, mm-hmm. 4 o'clock.
Oh, I meant to ask you about that. There's a time change.
Yeah, we're going from just because during the winter months it's so late, you know.
It's dark fast.
So, yeah. And we have a lot of older folks that come out to the concert, mm-hmm. so it gets them out early and gets me home early.
Mm-hmm.
So it, and then if they got something else to do, they can still do that. Mm-hmm. So,
maybe, well, you know, Mark, woke up one day and realized we're older folks now too.
Yes, I am. 62 this year, so.
So, okay, the concert is, you're keeping it the third Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this year, yes.
Okay, so it's the third Sunday of the month at 4 o'clock. They're all at 4 o'clock because we're getting into winter.
Yes.
It's
they'll be all at 4 o'clock. RJ's in September. Jennifer Westwood, who's not jazz, she's an Americana artist from Detroit. If her and her band are, I'm a huge fan. If Johnny Cash and Patti Smith had a love child, it would be Jennifer Westwood. You know, she looks like this little petite. Looks like she'd be a bluegrass singer, but the girl's got some vocals. So
fantastic.
And they'll be playing in November, and then in February I've got Dionne Yates playing her anniversary concert, so to speak, be our sixth anniversary, even though we skipped 2 years, and then. And I'll probably have something in there between there and April 30th, but April 30th is International Jazz Day, and we'll have, as always, Wyandotte Roosevelt's Jazz Ensemble, and all the money goes to them. So,
okay.
You know, jazz has always been about social justice.
And Roosevelt, being in high school for those who don't know, yes.
Yeah, and they're terrific. The kids are terrific.
Yeah. So. Okay, good.
I've heard two or three of those concerts, and wow. Doesn't matter what day of the week. What day of the week is it this year?
This year's been on Sunday. So.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Next year, I should say.
I know, yeah. But I will tell you that it truly gives me hope for the future every time I hear them.
And a lot of his kids, I know from the group that played this past year or this past International Jazz Day, a lot of them have gotten music scholarships. I mean, he's a phenomenal. He's just a phenomenal teacher, and his wife's a jazz singer too.
Yeah,
his wife sings for Paul, with Paul's group now.
Oh, Sarah Barnes D'Angelo.
Yeah, that's Paul's. That's his wife,
and he plays congas with them sometimes.
Yes.
Okay.
I did not know. He's the band director at Roosevelt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My mom's alma mater.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. My mom graduated from Roosevelt High School.
There's that tiny world.
He's the only when I our first time here was when we did the chocolate jazz with smooth jazz guy named David Wells, mm-hmm. and then the only high school I could find to work with me was Wynette Roosevelt, and Mark will let his kids play anytime he gets a chance to let them play, he lets them play.
Wow.
And they were actually better than David Wells, I thought. So.
Well, yeah, they were.
David, I hope you're not here listening right now.
I don't think
and
he
they,
is.
The band between last year and this year, school year, I think went down by half, right? He graduated out like half the kids.
I believe he did, yes.
Yeah, it was a big hit
yes.
to take. So we'll be looking to see if he has new superstars. I'm sure he does.
Yeah, we've got a young man in our church that's going to be in the jazz band next year. So Ricky Longoria, he plays,
oh, right.
he's a pianist and a guitar player, and he's just a natural born musician, and he's already been picked to be in the jazz band next year. So
wonderful.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Got a cool connection there.
Yeah. Every time you turn on the radio and you hear all the bad news and then you hear this, and it's like there is hope. There are good kids out there who are working hard, and they're going to be something someday. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So this coming Sunday, RJ, tell us all about what you have planned.
Well, I'm bringing my trio,
okay,
which is a fine young guitar player named Matt LaRusso, who studied at Michigan State, and actually he is from Grosse Ile as well.
Okay.
And he has a degree from MSU, where he studied with the great Rodney Whitaker. Aware of him. He's a great educator and a world-class bassist. He's, you know, he's another Paul Keller type guy where all the top heavyweight guys in the world know him and have his phone number. He's a beautiful guy, and I've known him. Actually, he went to junior high school with Dion Yates.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I knew those guys when you were junior high school kids.
Okay.
You know? So we go back a long way. So that's my guitar player. He's a wonderful kid, young man now. And I have a bass player who's, you know, when you talk about Ann Arbor and great bass players and Paul Keller, well, the other name that is always mentioned is Kurt Kroenke.
Yes, I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Who was also from Wyandotte, the Grosse Ile.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And he is another world-class bassist. He's played with Joe Henderson and many of the world's wonderful leading jazz artists. And so that's the trio I'm going to bring. But we're there to back up my dear friend of almost 40 years, John Paxton. We call him T-Bone. He plays the trombone. And T-Bone sings. And he can get up there for the whole night. We can play 4 hours, and he will sing every single song. Like a lot of singers will say, why don't you guys play two instrumentals and I'll come on? John is ready to go at all times. He has got plenty of energy, and he knows a lot of songs, and we will cover a fair amount of territory in one concert.
Okay.
You come and see us play at Jazz 37, and we're going to play some tunes by Fats Waller, a little Harlem Drive. We will play some Louis Jordan tunes, which those of you maybe aren't familiar, Louis Jordan came out of the swing era, where he actually was a member of the Chick Webb band when Ella Fitzgerald was a girl singer, and then he went on to kind of pioneer R&B. So it's kind of that nexus of swing and R&B, and they call it jump blues. He kind of invented his own genre. So we'll play some Louis Jordan tunes, and then we always go to New Orleans. John and I have been to New Orleans. We played New Orleans. We love New Orleans. We've been playing a lot of tunes lately by a guy named Danny Barker, Danny Barker grew up, you know, the same era with Louis Armstrong, came to New York, where he was a guitar player and a banjo player, and he played in a Cab Calloway band. And then after, you know, a long, successful career as a New York sideman, he went back home to New Orleans, where he got a day job at this jazz museum. And he decided that the brass band tradition in New Orleans wasn't really what it was when he left, so he started organizing a weekly rehearsal band at the Fairview Baptist Church in New Orleans, and he mentored young musicians, brass musicians, like Wynton Marsalis and his brother Branford, and guys that went on to start the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, the Rebirth Brass Band. He basically shepherded the entire whole movement that we have today in New Orleans with all these brass bands that are touring the world and really making their mark. He started that. Well, he was a funny songwriter, too. And he had a wife, they called her Blue Lou Barker, and she put the blue in blues. And they wrote a lot of naughty little clever tunes. And if you remember Maria Muldaur, she had a hit with Midnight at the Oasis, and she had another song, Don't You Feel My Leg?
Yes, I remember that.
That's a Danny Barker tune.
Wow.
Yeah. See? Okay. So we John and I have been doing a lot of Danny Barker tunes lately. That's one of our things we do. And he might do a Sinatra tune. You know, we do the Great American Songbook, Irving Berlin, Cole Porter. We do that kind of stuff too. I queued up here on this CD, which I forget is one or two, but we have a version of John doing Come Rain or Come Shine by Johnny Mercer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so we have a very, when we mix up, we have some New Orleans tunes, some Harlem Jive, a little bit of jump blues, some standards, Great American Songbook. Maybe John, being a trombone player, he likes to do some stuff by, Jack Teagarden.
Okay.
Great trombone player that from Texas, who was Armstrong's musical pal and protege. Well, not protege, they were contemporaries, really. Anyway, yeah, so we mix it up, and John sings all these tunes, and it's a very fun. You know, in life, you know, there's guys out here playing their music, some in jazz clubs, some in blues clubs. So then you have joints that just have music. You know, you play one night, and it's going to be Jennifer Westwood, you know, or it's going to be Carolyn Strijo. This might be a Celtic band. It might be a bluegrass band. And one night it might be John and I doing our nutty amalgamation of Louis Jordan and Fats Waller and what we do, you know. And that's why a lot of my income comes from playing, you know, so the crowd is not necessarily an educated jazz crowd. They might not even like jazz or think that they might not like jazz. But they come and watch us and go, well, I like what you guys are doing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've heard it a lot.
People come up and say to me, they'll say, wow, what do you call what you do? Because that's my music.
Yeah, that's jazz.
Yeah.
A lot of times, yeah.
Yeah. I ran into somebody, and I was talking about this, and she said, oh, that's the one genre I don't like, and it surprises me because I like so many different types of music. And I said, you're probably talking about more like an avant-garde, something that's, right, you know, kind of out there. I said, are you talking about like this, where the notes, you know, I know they can see this in radio, but the notes, the notes are going in every direction. And it doesn't make sense, but it does to the person who wrote the music. And, well, I don't know. I said, you have to understand there are many genres, subgenres within the genre of jazz.
Sure.
So many different things.
A lifetime of study.
Oh, yeah. 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 And I think I just have to get enough CDs in front of her ears and let her know that she really does like jazz.
That first track that we did, that's with my swing band called the Planet Dinonette. And that was on a record called Swingin' the D, which came out on Gretchen Valade's Detroit Music Factory label. And that was John singing. He's a member of both the Planet D, and then we have this quartet together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was an Ellington tune called Just a Sittin' and a Rockin'.
It's on this one?
It's on this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm confusing things.
That's
this track is that we just heard is going to also be on our new CD coming out on Gretchen's label.
Okay.
Which comes out at the end of October. We have a brand new CD coming out.
Do you want us to hear that?
Well, that's the one we just started with. That was
okay.
The tune we played.
That was
an Ellington and Strayhorn collaboration.
Right.
Called Just a Sittin' in a Rockin'. And I put it on one of my little CDs, but we put it on her CD.
Okay.
Because it's a whole spotlight on the great Billy Strayhorn, who was Duke Ellington's musical.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh okay. Yeah.
Now you mentioned Kirk Crackey. He did play there. He played us once. He played with. He was a bass player for Russ and Janine.
Yes.
When they played there.
Yeah. So. Russ and Janine. I they're Eastside cronies of mine. I've known them all my life.
Yeah.
I love them.
Nice people.
I hire Russ on gigs and have, and I will always hire Russ on my gigs. And him and John are particularly close. And they played together in a band called the Sun Messengers.
Yes.
I named the Sun Messengers. I co-founded that band in 1980.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Never knew that.
You guys know, now the Sun Messengers still play occasionally, don't they?
They are still a very active band.
Yeah.
There's only one original member left. And so sometimes when I'm playing with the Planet D, like I played at the Motor City Wine last Sunday with my South African iteration of the group. We played right in this room here a couple times with that band. And I thought about it and I go, well, there's Akunda on congas and me here in percussion and James and Tima. We had four original Sun Messengers. So when we get together and play with that group, there's four original Sun Messengers and there's only one left in National Sun Messengers, one guy.
Right.
But Rick, the guy who's holding things down all these years later with the Sun Messengers, is still a very close friend and a great advisor. And really, he is a font of musical knowledge. You know, you think I can talk about music for a long period of time, and I think it's pretty evident that I can. Rick's the same way, if not worse. Yes, we are. We were kind of mentored. Like I mentioned to you before we got on the show, my uncle Bud was a drummer and a broadcaster. And so I always learned about music thinking about the historical perspective, you know, because I watched the way that he, you know, did his radio show. And so there was that. And then my uncle had a radio show called Jazz Today. And it, the companion program was a show on WDET called Jazz Yesterday by Jim Gallard, who runs the jazz mm-hmm. talk tent at the jazz festival every year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Jim is an expert on early jazz. And Rick knew Jim before I did, and he introduced me to him. And so we've always had this great connection with my uncle mm-hmm. and Jim and Rick and I. And so we've always been musical collaborators and buddies, you know. And, right. and so every year I do an annual concert with the Planet D at the Scarab Club with a different historical focus each time. And Jim and Rick are my men on that. We sit down and work on it all year long. We meet and we talk about material, what we're going to present this year. Mm-hmm. And last year we did Fletcher Henderson, which I don't know if you guys even know who that
yep.
is. But
yes.
Okay, all right, I'm with the hip cats today, the big dogs. Those of you in radio land that don't know who Fletcher Henderson was, I'm going to tell you right now, because I know you're dying, you're sitting in your seat going, who is this Fletcher Henderson he's talking about?
Tell him, RJ, tell him.
Fletcher Henderson was a great pianist, and he came from Georgia to New York, where he was studying in college to be a chemist, and he decided he's going to follow music, and he started by recording as a pianist on blues records with the early women blues singers, Bessie Smith and so on, and then he went on to have his own big band, and this is a very early time in jazz. He was a strong enough band leader that he could coax a young talent from Chicago named Louis Armstrong. That's right, Louis Armstrong came from New Orleans to Chicago, where he played in his mentor's band, the King Oliver Band, and he was making a name for himself over there in Chicago, Fletcher heard about him and said, oh yeah, I want you in my band, send him a message. He came to New York and joined his band, where the tenor player was Coleman Hawkins. So this is a super group of jazz in the late 20s, and really influencing, you know, the architecture of early jazz and jazz, modern jazz to this day. And really people know of Fletcher now as the guy who wrote all these great arrangements that Benny Goodman had hits with in the 30s. Big John Special, King Porter Stop, and so forth. All those mm-hmm. songs that are quintessential swing era standards, those were charged contributed by Fletcher. So he really made more of an income with his pen than he did as a band leader and pianist.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. You mentioned that you named the Sun Messengers.
I did.
Okay, tell me about Planet and the name and where
Planet
it came from.
Planet D,
Nanette? Yes.
Planet D, Planet, the D stands for Detroit. So Planet Detroit and mm-hmm. Nanette. Or Nonet, however you prefer to say it. Some say Nonet because they think it's French.
Mm-hmm.
It is not French. You know what a quartet is? It's four musicians, right? I'm bringing the trio to play for Mark here. Well, if you go up the size of the bands, you know, there's a quintet, a sextet, a septet, an octet, and a
nonet.
And the next group up is a dectet.
Ah.
And I don't think it's a word for 11-tet. I think I've seen on records the Johnny Smith dectet plus one when it's 11-piece group. So I don't know what they do with that. You know, I've not faced that yet. You know, Louis Jordan had the Timpani Five for a million years, and you go see Louis Jordan's Timpani Five, and there's seven or eight guys on the bandstand. So I think that sometimes it doesn't really matter. Like when I do the Planet D Township Jazz Band, there's mm-hmm. always 10 of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm
mm-hmm.
thinking at this point, like, well, it worked for Louis Jordan. It's going to work for me.
Why not, right?
I always thought it was some exotic something, and
right.
announcing it as a DJ, doing my back announcing, I did give it the French twist.
I like that, though. I
sounds like, classy, right?
I play every year at the Dirty Dog Jazz Cafe, and Willie, the manager over there, gets up and does this wonderful introduction to the band, and he's always said, the Planet D Nonet. And I just stopped correcting him. You know, just, he's a great guy. It's a great intro. You want to put the French twist on it? Who am I to fight him? Hey, as long as we're there and we're playing and we're having some fun and the audience is having a good time, that's what I'm about.
But that's a fun story. That really is a fun story. Yeah. And I thought I was being so sophisticated.
Yeah, that's okay. You
know. That works, right?
Yeah.
What do you know? How about something from one of these two CDs we have here?
Why don't you play this one? Again, I forget which number you said it was. But track number nine.
Nine?
That one, please. And this is the Planet D Nonet. And we're playing Come Rain or Come Shine.
Oh.
Which is a Johnny Mercer lyric.
You know, I always say that standards are called that because there's a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
They're setting a standard.
Absolutely.
And he was a wonderful lyricist and a Southern gentleman, the son of Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
And a bit of a tipper.
Ah.
There's many hilarious stories of him.
Okay. There we go.
I'm gonna love you like nobody's loved you. Come rain or come shine. High as a mountain, deep as a river. Come rain or come shine. I guess when you met me, it was just one of those things. But don't ever bet me, 'cause it's gonna be true if you let me. You're gonna love me like nobody's loved me. Come rain or come shine. Happy together, unhappy together. Wouldn't it be fine? Days may be cloudy or sunny.
That's a sample of what Sunday's going to be about. Yeah. I can't imagine anybody not wanting to go.
Me either.
Thank you.
Say that again.
Thank you.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Because you were fiddling around with your wires over there. I didn't know if we lost you. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that. Mark, tell us about I'm not sure exactly how to put this. Your venue so far as the music goes, is all about the jazz.
Yes.
And or good music.
Right, good music.
And then the desserts are wonderful afterwards.
We always have cake. If you like cake, come.
But in between the show and the desserts, there's this whole section of room over here where you have artists come in. Tell us about the artists.
We have someone come in every month. Her name is Mary Vorvis. She does it's kind of Native American style art. She's pretty well known in the area. We've had a couple other artists that have come, but she's the only one that seems to want to come back every month. So, yeah. And we let her set up. We don't charge her to set up her art, and she comes and displays her art and sells a few pieces. Usually sells a few things every month, and
her work is gorgeous.
Yes, yeah. It is. She's a sweet lady.
So. Yeah, definitely. Mary is she is native, and she's bringing the art in the way of paintings. She has a number of different beads. She makes jewelry.
Yes.
Just beautiful work.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering what her medium was.
Huh? Yeah. And then she also has some items that kind of fit into the mode, if you will, scarves and things like that.
Yes.
That she doesn't make those, but she's able to sell those.
We've had a couple other artists. I'm trying to remember, and I can't remember the one lady's name, but we have had a gentleman named Paul Robertson. He goes by a different name. I can't think of his artist's name, but I'd seen he did this jazz trumpet thing, and I seen it was made a postcard in some of the places I was dropping off my jazz flyers, you know, for the mm-hmm. for a concert, and mm-hmm. I thought, so I bought it. I liked it, and mm-hmm. I found him, and he used to come until he got a little bit too big. He sells too much stuff, and I think he's doing pretty well, so he hasn't been there in a while. But he takes a picture, and then he does something weird to it, and then it looks like a idyllic almost to me. But
I know exactly who you're talking about. His work is incredible.
I can't think of it. He uses a different name. His legal name is Paul Robertson, but he uses a different name. It's slipping my mind. Sid Vicious. Spells it different than the.
Yeah.
The punk artist.
Punk artist, yes.
Yeah, his photography is absolutely incredible.
Yes.
There's like another world that gets incorporated into what
I like to say. We helped him get a start because I don't think he was displaying any of his art. He did pretty much every concert, every one of our concerts 1 year, and then after that he kind of branched out and got well known, and so mm-hmm. he's on to bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see, what else do we want to talk about? RJ, on the flyer for this coming Sunday, it does talk about some of your different genres within the big genre of jazz. And one of the things listed there is space age jazz.
Yes.
What do it mean?
What do it mean? space age jazz refers to the planet D. One of the things that we do is we keep the music of Sun Ra alive.
Ah.
And I know here in WHFR you have Pat Frisco. And what was the other gentleman you mentioned?
Tom Wilson.
Tom Wilson, mm-hmm. but they both play Sun Ra's music. Mm-hmm. Sun Ra was how do you put this? He actually played piano in the Fletcher Henderson Band when they were in residence at Club Delisa in Chicago for quite an extended period. And so there's another connection, you know, and I would go to see Sun Ra play. He was a guy that John Sinclair first brought into play at the Ann Arbor Blues and Jazz Festival and kind of turned Michigan audiences on to his music. And so we would go see him, and he would play some of his Fletcher Henderson tunes, and that kind of got me like, wow, what's that about, you know? And so I've been a fan of that music since the mid-70s when I first discovered Sun Ra. And I got to know him a little bit. I met him quite a few times, and I got to know some of the guys in the band. And so the Planet D has made actually a double CD and another live CD of us doing Sun Ra music. And a second one, we have a trumpeter named Michael Ray as our guest on the whole CD. And Michael Ray has played on and off with Sun Ra since like 1976. And when I say off, because sometimes he's off with his other band, Cool and the Gang.
Oh, really?
And they were just in town, and he called me up and wanted me to come out, and I had this mm-hmm. splitting headache. I could not make it. But Mike is a dear, dear, dear friend. He came and lived in Detroit 1 year when things were slow with both of those bands, and he played in the Sun Messengers for 9 months with us.
Really?
And lived on the east side in Detroit with us. Yeah, and yeah.
That's a cool connection.
Yeah, yeah. And so Sun Ra, Everybody, you know, everybody has YouTube. Go put in Sunra, S-U-N-R-A, which really means sun, Sunra is Egyptian for sun. And he was born in Birmingham, Alabama, although he would tell you he was born in Saturn. He played cosmic jazz, and it was he. How do you put this to the uninitiated? Modal jazz, odd meters, swing, blues, avant-garde saxophone, all meets in one pastiche called Sun Ra's music.
Right.
And he's totally unique and totally different from anybody else. And there were musicians that played in his band their entire lives. And it was like a cult of music. You could live at his house and be in his band, and he would rehearse every day. And they said he rarely slept, and he would wake up in the morning. He would rehearse the sax players on a part, and then he'd maybe go into the room and do some more writing. Come back in, he'd call the brass players in and start rehearsing them, and then he'd go to some more writing. He'd come back and he'd work with the rhythm section for a couple of minutes, and then he'd come back with more parts, and you have the whole band. And this would be an all-day process. It's these guys would be hanging around the house waiting for him to say, okay, now come on in here now, all the saxophones, you know, and he'd run them down these songs. You know, and this is what I've learned from talking to all the guys who actually lived in a house, and they told me what it's like to live there. Like, it was just an all-encompassing. You join that band, and it was your entire life for decades. One guy, the baritone player, Danny Thompson, he was a businessman for the band too, so he was kind of like the straw boss, we call that in the world of swing music, and so he was taking care of business. And if you wanted to book Sun Ra, you might call up Danny and say, hey, are you guys available on this night? And he'd take care of the business for Ra. And he was, you know, quite a guy, and he was with Ra for years. And I heard that when he finally left the band, he actually had to like clandestinely get his possessions out of the house and take a flight to Texas to live with relatives, and now he's back playing with the band after Ra's departure back to the cosmos, as it were. But yeah, that's like he couldn't just, it's been great, I'll see you guys later. He actually had to kind of like escape, you know.
But, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, guys came and played in that band and died, you know, in that band, you know, and well, that's quite a testament to the composing and arranging of Sun Ra, that he would attract guys like that,
right.
You know. Maybe your listeners would know Harvey Pekar, American Splendor. There was a movie with Paul Giamatti a couple years ago. He's he wrote for graphic novels. You know, he was not the cartoonist, but he wrote the dialogue. And in one of his strips, he has about being in Chicago and going back to his hometown of Cleveland on a bus and getting on the bus to the Greyhound, and there's the entire Sun Ra band.
Really?
Taking the Greyhound back to Philadelphia from in Chicago, and he talks to them in his strip. And Harvey's strips were always real. There was never any imagination in his, like, he depicted real life without ornamentation.
Okay.
And he would also, Harvey also actually reviewed for Jazz Times and Downbeat, and you know, he was a serious jazz collector. So when he gets on the bus and he sees the Sun Ra, he's like, wow, you know, it's like he's got to go over and talk to him, and so one of his cartoons is about this, you know. It's very,
interesting,
some very funny stuff, you know. yeah. Here's Sun Ra on tour, and the bus is broken down, so they're taking the whole band back to Philadelphia. And I say the whole band is, it's 12 or 15 guys, you know. They're on the Greyhound bus together going back to Philadelphia. Can you imagine how long that took?
Wow.
You ever taken a Greyhound bus?
Yes.
I have.
I don't know if I have.
8 hours turns into 16 usually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, okay, one time I was down south in Florida with Alberta Adams. I was her manager for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended a tour in Jacksonville. And my parents winter in Sarasota. Well, it's my band, so I say to the guys, look, I'm going to go spend a couple weeks with my mom and dad and fly home. So you guys take my van back home and, you know, just park the van and put the keys through my mail slot and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I take the Greyhound over to, and oh my God, from Jacksonville to Sarasota, it was 8 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you're sitting there and there's the guy across from me. He just got out of jail. He's telling me all about Oh, yeah.
Makes for good stories, right?
Colorful.
Colorful, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Sun Ra.
Now you were telling us, I don't know, I think before we're on air, I think that you're doing something with John Sinclair soon with Ron English.
I am. We are organizing a 75th birthday celebration for John Sinclair. And those of you in the radio land listening, John was an interesting guy. You mentioned your entrance into the music with garage rock.
Right. Well,
and of course, we're talking about Down River and so forth. And the MC5.
MC5, yes.
They're all from what, Lincoln Park. Allen,
yes.
Park got that way, right?
Lincoln Park, yeah.
Yeah. And Winning Kramer's a good buddy of mine.
Yeah.
So
actually, the first band I ever saw was the MC5.
There you go. Yeah. Well, John Sinclair was their manager.
Yeah.
And he also started the Ann Arbor Blues and Jazz Festival, which today in this world of jazz festivals, we take them for granted. But really, it all came along when John and the East Coast, it was George Ween starting the Newport Jazz Festival and John Sinclair starting the Ann Arbor Blues and Jazz Festival. These were groundbreaking events that now everybody has their own jazz festival.
Right.
But this, it did not exist before that. And John, his was not nearly as mainstream as he mixed jazz and blues. You can go come to the Ann Arbor Blues and Jazz Festival and see Howlin' Wolf and all these great guys at Sun Ra. It was an amazing Count Basie Orchestra, Ray Charles. I mean, it was an amazing affair. So John was a musical activist. He was a writer. He was a journalist. He managed bands.
Friends with John Lennon?
Yes, John Lennon wrote that song about him. He was a political prisoner.
Yeah,
Free John Sinclair. So yes, John's a friend and a colleague and mentor to me. You know, I mentioned my uncle. So of course, my uncle played drums at that Free John Sinclair rally at Chrysler Arena.
Wow.
So I've been connected to John Sinclair pretty much my entire life, and so we're celebrating his 75th birthday on October the 2nd. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's at the Scarab Club right behind the Detroit Institute of Arts. And Ron English and I are helming the Hummus Band. And just as I was coming in today here, I had a long conversation with Wendell Harrison, a great saxophone player, and confirmed
absolutely
that he's going to come and partake and be part of this thing with us. And we're going to have some famous poets and writers. Emma Liebler is going to be there.
Okay.
And John's going to give me the whole list tomorrow of all the writers that will make it, and they'll be reading and excerpts from short stories, and it's going to be a very literary and musical event, and it's all associated with the Detroit Artists Workshop, which celebrated its 50th anniversary last year, and was a group that John spearheaded. And, you know, as you might know also, John's ex-wife, who he's still very close friends with, Lenny Sinclair, she's the 2016 Kresge Eminent Artist, and she has iconic photos of John Coltrane and Bob Marley,
yes,
and Bob Seger, and yes. So, yes, we're going to have an event for John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that open to the public?
Oh, that's why I'm telling everybody those details.
All right.
Y'all, and you can go to it'll be updated pretty soon. Carrie Lauren, who runs the DAW website, is in Europe right now, but when it gets back, he'll update all this stuff. But if you want, it will be also on my website, which is rjspangler.com.
Now, Carrie Lauren,
that's easy.
He used to, wasn't he connected with years ago a magazine called Goldmine, a record collector's magazine?
Yeah.
I was thinking that. I know I recognize the name.
Exactly, yes.
We are almost out of time, which I can't believe. We need to talk to David and see if we can go on for another hour. But one thing I have failed to do is to get contact information and a lot of it. So,
okay.
RJ, you gave us rjspangler.com. That's,
yep.
Almost anybody could handle that,
all
I think.
All things to do with RJ are there. I have all my bands, YouTube clips, Spotify, it's all there.
It's all there, okay.
Yeah.
Mark, how do we do that with the Jazz at 37 North? How do we contact?
There is a Facebook page for Jazz at 37 North. I have never been on our church's website, so I can't tell you. I think they do have a website called www.37northchurch.com. I have never been on there, so I don't know.
No, I have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you know what's on there.
Not a lot about 37 North Jazz.
Okay, yeah.
Jazz at 37.
You know, we're kind of the redhead stepchild of the church.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, Jazz at 37 North has a Facebook page.
There you go. I do too, also for the Planet Dino Net.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one of the criticisms I got early on was, why jazz in church? And I said, why not? I started it really because I was in Boston in 2008, and I seen a church doing a jazz vespers. I thought, I wonder what that is. I'd never heard of a jazz vespers.
Ah, okay.
And so I called, and they told me what they did, and unfortunately I left before the concert. But I thought, so when I got home, I looked it up, mm-hmm. if there's anybody doing that in Michigan. And First Baptist of Birmingham had a jazz vespers for years. They just ended it this past year, I believe, because the gentleman that did it passed away.
I played it several times. He was a great guy. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna jump in and say something about this to you, because this is of interest to me too. We were talking about Lutheran Church earlier, before the show. There was a guy named Father Garcia Gensel in New York. They called him the Shepherd of the Night Flock, and he had jazz vespers at his church. And this is the church that they had Duke Ellington's
St. Peter. Was that St. Peter?
Yes. And they had Coltrane, Ellington, all the great jazz artists have their funeral at his church. They were not Lutherans, but that's where they wanted.
Right.
Because he was the guy. He looked out for the music. And still to this day, when you're in New York, you look in the paper and you'll see there's a jazz band playing there, like, every Wednesday night, year round, and this has been going on forever. And one year, I was with Rick Steiger from the Sun Messengers, and we went to a little club called Carlos One in New York. Carlos One was not much bigger than this room we're in and that room there combined, mm-hmm. and you're on benches, so you kind of meet the people you're with, right? And right behind me was Father Garcia Gensel with Ruth Ellington Boatwright,
really?
Duke's sister, and we were watching a band of all Ellingtonians. It was 10 Ellingtonians up there, including Clark Terry on trumpet. Everybody in that band had played in Ellington band. Even the piano player had been the bass player when he played with Ellington. So the entire band was all Ellington alumni playing Duke's music in a room like this.
Yes.
It was amazing. One of those things. And who's next to me? Ruth Boatwright Ellington and Father Garcia Gensel. So I, of course, had to shake their hands. And I wasn't, you know, nearly as talkative as I am right now.
Just, you were shy?
I was respectful.
There you go. Right.
There you go. Yes. That's it.
Yes. I know. I can talk. I'm a little verbose.
That's okay. Yes. But that was where I got my idea from. And mm-hmm. when I started going to, in 2008, when I came home, it was in 2006, so I started going to the First Baptist in Birmingham, and I seen quite a few. I went there for a couple of years, and I is it the 2008 Detroit Jazz Fest, and I seen Ron English, and I thought, I got to see if I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, it took the church, the board, 6 months. The current pastor, the pastor back then, Daniel Smith, was one of the coolest persons I ever met.
Mm-hmm.
Probably largely responsible for me still being in church, because I was considering quitting back then.
You were waffling, as they say.
Yes, and he was just one of the coolest people I ever met. And he thought it was a great idea. Of course, you know, so it took him a while to get everyone else okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to tell you, before we end things here, there is a great live record by one of the world's greatest saxophone players in my book, Sam Rivers.
Okay.
Live at a Wesleyan church in Massachusetts.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah?
Wow. Okay. Upcoming gigs, of course, we're talking about this weekend.
This Sunday. Weekend, yes.
Yeah.
4 o'clock at 37 North. Our address is 14250 Reek Road. That's R-E-E-C-K. And in Southgate, we're between Northline and Eureka Roads.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coming from the north, you get off at exit 37, which is how we got our name.
Yep.
At Northline Road, and come to where the road is right in front of Sam's Club.
There you go.
There's a YMCA in the corner, and you just come down that road south for about a mile, and we'll be on your right hand side.
Holiday Inn is right there.
Yes.
And I love that when I tell people, it's like jazz at 37 North. What? I said, that's the exit you need from 75.
And we're trying to be a little more modern. You know, we have more modern worship style than, we're not traditional anyway. So it's cool that we have jazz.
Yeah.
Or live music.
And you changed your furniture.
Yes, we did. We were not everyone was happy about that.
Okay. Well, we can't leave people hanging. you went from classic pews.
Yes,
modern pews.
Modern pews, yes.
To
they're folding chairs, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice folding chairs. Soft. They're cushion folding chairs.
You have chairs. You have tables. You have Parsons tables, and
You have art.
And we have art. Yes.
It's cake.
We have cake. Come for the music, stay for the cake, please.
It's comfortable. It's a wonderful, comfortable setting. And we're going to have this guy named R.J. Spangler there with interestingly named groups.
Oh, yes. Oh. Jazz is never boring.
Anything
people think jazz is boring, probably never really heard real jazz.
Exactly. Anything special we should be listening for, RJ, on Sunday?
Well, I said we're going to play some Fats Waller. We're gonna play some New Orleans music. We're going to play some Louis Jordan. We're going to play some Great American Songbook. We hit all the great stuff, some Creole jazz.
It's not going to be boring, right?
No.
Not even close.
I think if you are not a jazz fan, people say to me often, they go, I don't really like jazz, but I love what you guys did.
Right.
Because we're entertaining. That's what
yes.
we'll say.
Yes.
Yeah. We played a festival in Grand Rapids, Ohio, a few weeks ago, and local DJs down there. One of them contacted me and said, "That was the greatest show I've ever seen in my life." Now, I'm sure it's a little hyperbole, but you know, hey,
you'll take it, right?
Yeah. I mean, we really connected with that audience. They loved us, you know, and that happens whenever we play. People tend to feel pretty happy.
That's okay. Good.
We're very sincere.
Give me your best contact. We are almost out of time here. Give me your best contact.
rjspangler.com.
All right, and Mark.
Can I get my phone number?
Sure.
734-497-3829. That's my personal cell phone number. You can call me and ask about jazz and find out what's going on.
Wonderful.
What if you just have like a, maybe if you're feeling kind of down or sad, can I call you up?
Yes, call me up. If you get my answer machine, you'll understand.
Okay, and we're going to go out with a little bit of RJ's music. Thank you so much for being here today with Impact, both RJ and Mark Clark. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. This has been fun. And thank you, audience, for listening to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.